We're talking about treasure. Don't you love the picture of the treasure chest with all the gold and silver? And the text is, we have this treasure. And this morning we are going on a treasure hunt, and we have clues for this treasure. The first clue is found in Matthew 6:21. First clue. It's very short. And Jesus gives us this most important clue, Matthew 6:21. He says that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So the treasure should be in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I love produce. I get excited when I go into Fred Meyer and I say, where is the sweetest produce in this market? And I loved it one time he said, white nectarines. He said, you can't eat them if you're a diabetic because they're so sweet. And every once in a while, I'll find, good old Gold Beach, I discovered McKay's Market. McKay's Market had giant Fuji apples, 69 cents a pound. And this was particularly relevant because I had just been to Fred Meyer, and I was with this lady, and we were going up and down the apple aisle. And you know, they're all there, you know, there's yellow, red, black, and white. They're all there. And she was not finding what she was looking for. And I said to her, are you looking for Fuji apples? And she says, yes. I said, there aren't any Fuji apples. So we went and grabbed the produce man when we said, where are your Fuji apples, sir? We don't have any Fuji apples. I was heartbroken. And then I went up to McKay's Market, and there they are, you know, not apples like this. These were huge, and they were crisp. You know how to pick out apples, don't you? You got to thump them, and if they go thump, thump, you don't want a mushy apple. You want one that's ripe. Anyway, I just felt like going around and shouting out at the top of my voice, McKay's Market has Fuji apples, giant, sweet, delicious Fuji apples for 69 cents a pound. Just couldn't hardly stand it. And anybody I would find, I would tell them about it. And my question is, and I thought about this with this sermon, why can't I get excited about the second coming and about Jesus like I do about Fuji apples? So I'm preaching to myself today, okay? The treasure is in your heart. Okay, now keep your Bible open to Matthew because we got a couple of texts here. Matthew 12 is our next one. Next clue, Matthew 12. And this gives you an insight into people. Matthew 12, verse 35. Jesus says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Good heart, good treasure. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Evil man, evil treasure. Good man, good treasure. And so all of us have treasures in our hearts. There are things that we love. But the question is, what is it that you love? All right, now we have Matthew 13. And this is a fascinating story about a farmer. And it might have even happened during Jesus' time. Matthew 13:44, again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which the man hath found and hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has and buyeth that field. When I was canvassing in Saskatchewan, the people that we were staying with, they ran a little mom-and-pop grocery store and service station. We slept, Larry Croman and I, my partner, we slept in a little upstairs apartment. Sunday, we would go out with them because they also had a field where they grew wheat. And we would go out and help them pick stones. Now, you probably wonder, why would you pick stones? Well, stones have a way of growing. They come up through the surface. And so you can have all of the stones picked off of a field, and next spring or summer, more stones will come popping up out of the earth. It's an amazing thing. And so here's this poor farmer, and he's plowing, and plump. And he says to himself, another stone, come on. And he doesn't know whether the stone is this big or this big, but he's got to get it out of the field. And so he starts digging, and it isn't a stone, it's a box. And he pulls the box out of the ground, and there is treasure, full of gold. He quickly reburies it, goes home, and much to the chagrin of his wife, he sells everything in the house so that he can buy that field and he can get the treasure. Principle here is, if you want the treasure, it's going to cost you something, okay? It doesn't come cheap. It's going to cost you something. And that just happens to be the next part. Well, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. Where would you go and look for clues about the kingdom of heaven? How about this book? And Jesus says the first thing that you have to do with this book is found in John 5:39. John 5:39. He says, "Search. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You have to search. This is the source of the treasure. But it isn't going to do any good if it's just sitting on your coffee table or on your nightstand. I had a lady in Moreno Valley, Catholic lady. And she came from part of Ontario, a Catholic part of Canada, and she became a Seventh-day Adventist, left the Catholic Church, became a Seventh-day Adventist, and she, of course, was concerned about her mom. Her mom was a dyed-in-wool Catholic, and she wanted to make sure that her mom would read her Bible. Now, her mother had a Bible in the house, but she never opened it up. That wasn't the purpose of that Bible. She had like a little shrine with a candle and a crucifix, and there was a Bible. And you don't open up that Bible. You know, that's just part of the shrine, of the thing that she goes through with her worship, something she focuses on. And so Jackie, the daughter, she said, "Mom, I'm going to get you a Bible." Well, it isn't just as simple as that. You can't go to Walmart, evidently in this part of town, and buy a Bible. She had to go to the Catholic priest, and he had to fill out a purchase order for one Bible. And then she took that purchase order to the Catholic bookstore, and that enabled her to buy one Bible. Now, this Catholic Bible, I have one at home. It's no different than our Bible. It has the Ten Commandments. It's got them all there, the Fourth Commandment. It has the Apocrypha as well. But the problem with Catholic people is they don't search it. Seventh-day Adventists, we're getting lazy. Did you know there more and more people aren't reading anymore? And we are becoming an oral learning group. And God says, you got to search. You got to open up the book, and you have to know what to look for. Now, this afternoon, Linda and I are going to go down and talk with my neighbor. He found out yesterday that he has stage 4 cancer of the lung, smoked for 31 years, and he is going through a grieving process. He's angry. That's one of the stages of grief. And he requested a Bible. So he's kind of, he is not really a very religious man. I don't think he goes to church. Or ever been, he may have gone to church, but he knows he's dying. The cancer has metastasized from his lung to his spine, and it's just basically taking off. And so what do I say to him? He asked for a Bible. What text am I going to show him about salvation? James 5, okay. Healing, that's good. John 14, 1 to 3. John 3, 16. And his... John 5, 39, okay, we just did that. And, you know, we need to know our Bibles, not just for other people's sake, but we need to look at this book. This is the medicine cabinet. And I don't know what kind of medicine you need, but every once in a while, we all feel alone. And I'm sure that Wes and his wife feel alone. And I'm going to share with them Psalm 73. Psalm 73, 23 to 26. Nevertheless, says David, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? This is David crying out in despair. He feels completely alone. Saul is chasing him all over the countryside and he cries out, who do I have in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It's a good text for my neighbor. And each one of us need to find the promises in God's word that will heal the various situations that we're going through. That's why we have this. This is the treasure book. So Jesus says to search, okay, find out where these medicine verses are. But then we have Psalms 19, verse 10. Psalms 19, verse 10. This is even in a praise song, I think, Brandy. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. These are God's words. This is the treasure. But more to be desired than gold, than fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. So the idea is your treasure, you have to work for it, you got to search for it, and then you have to taste it. How many of you have ever eaten honey in the honeycomb? Oh, you folks have been around. Does it taste better than that stuff you get, the bee, you know, the little cute little bee that you find that's so pretty? And does it taste better than that? Yes. That's the correct answer. Yes. Linda and I were in Nepal, and our friend Naseeb shared with a treasure. Somebody had brought some wild honey, and it was in a honeycomb. And, you know, sometimes the honeycomb is kind of messy, and there's baby bees there and all kinds of stuff, and it was a little dirty. And he offered to let me eat it. Well, the problem was it didn't look like the honey that you get in Fred Meyer. It was kind of black. And it was a little bit, what shall we say, scary looking. But I went ahead and I chomped down on this honey. And the question is, you eat the honey in the honeycomb. What do you do with the honeycomb? You spit it out, you use it as chewing gum, whatever. But this was the most delicious honey. Even though it was black, it was delicious honey. But I had to taste it. And we have to taste God's Word before we can really experience it in our lives. That's the only way we're going to be able to get. And somehow we have to encourage people to open the Bible. And I'm going to give this Bible to my neighbor, and I'm praying that he will be able to taste it, and it won't be like the Catholic Bible that just sits there and is kind of a magic thing, you know, and a healing is going to come out of it. No, the healing, you have to open it up, you have to search, and you have to taste. Okay, we've found the treasure. We've learned to use the treasure, Now we're going to share the treasure. This is when things get really interesting. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're looking verses 14 and onwards. Ask the question, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? These are people who are longing to hear something that only you and I can give. And then it goes on and it says, how shall they preach except they be sent? That would be us. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Whenever I think of this text, I think of the churches, the Seventh-day Adventist churches in Nepal. It's very difficult to visit Seventh-day Adventist churches in Nepal because most of them, you have to go up and down these valleys. Most of the people live in the middle section of Nepal, elevation 4,000 to 6,000, 7,000 feet. And they're just mountains and valleys, and these villages are on hillsides, and they terrace their fields and raise a little bit of corn. But getting there is a great difficulty, and so we have our gospel, I feel a commercial coming on, our gospel outreach workers, who 55 of them, who go from place to place, and they're climbing up and down these mountains, dealing with these people in the villages. And it says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Ladies in Nepal are interested in beautiful feet. And they will have toe rings. They will have anklets. They will put on toenail polish. And then the crowning act will be henna. You know what henna is? It's kind of like brown paint. And so they'll have their feet all painted up and their ankles all painted up, and that's really cool. And the proper ladies will cover their ankles and not let you see much of their feet. The ones that are a little risky, they when they get in the bus, they'll raise their hem of their sari, and you can see their ankles and their feet, and somehow that turns on the men. Beautiful feet. God says, the ones that have beautiful feet are those who go out and share the good news. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So even though you go out and you share, not everybody's going to accept it. And then verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth. Notice the sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. The sound. Ron, I feel a commercial coming on for Adventist World Radio, for radio waves. The sound. You still need a preacher, but he can get behind a microphone, and that sound can go out to all the world. And you know, that's the way it has to be. Every single person in this world needs an opportunity to hear about the treasure. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. And that's going to happen before Jesus can come. Beautiful feet. Okay, then we get down to our text today, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That means we are not made out of stainless steel. Now, Leslie and I understand that. Some of the rest of you might have might be aware that you are beginning. Oh, here's Max. Max and Michelle. Glad to have you back, Max. When you shake hands with Max, do it very gently. You know, he's just had some issues there. So some of us, we are very much aware that we are made out of clay and not stainless steel. So the treasure is in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's inappropriate for any of us to say, you know, I baptized. I brought so-and-so into the truth. That person is a Seventh-day Adventist because of me. No, no. Never the case. It's always the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit and angels have had to work through us. But they're the ones, the angels are the ones that get the glory. And that gives us, and leads us to another question, and that is, okay, so angels have stainless steel bodies. And they're a lot smarter than we are. They're a lot more efficient than we are. And they are just so much more capable. And you know, wouldn't God be more efficient if he just turned over the proclamation of the gospel to the angels? Maybe we could do some small thing, but they'd be a lot better at it. But no, Paul says the treasure is in earthen vessels. We are the ones that have to do it. We are the ones that get to do it. It's our privilege. The angels don't need to be drawn closer to God, but we do. We do, and the difficulty with angels, they don't understand everything there is about being saved. And I'm turning here to 2 Corinthians. They have never gone through a lot of trials and tribulations. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Comfort verses. Comfort food. In other words, angels have never been brought out of a situation. An angel has never had to overcome an addiction. An angel has never gone through the horrible things that we have and then experienced the restoration and the reconciliation like someone like David. And my parting thought here are tests, the things that you're going through, that is your testimony. And your mess is your message. Fortunately for us, I'm reading this book about, can the Bible be taken literally? Or is it just a made-up story? Well, this is a free text I'm throwing in here, Matthew 1, 6. This is TMI. This is too much information. This is the genealogies of Jesus. Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon. It should just end there. But it doesn't. It brings out the mess. And it goes on, David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Oh, what did you have to say that for? You know, the Bible is almost putting these messes out in front of us, showing us that it's okay to have a mess because God and Jesus Christ can solve messes. And our mess becomes our message. This is the message that we have in Psalms. That's why we love the Psalms so much, because David has one mess after another. God comes along and brings about reconciliation. He restores him. And when David really blows it, God somehow, through his Holy Spirit, touches his heart. In Psalms 51, we have David just pouring it all out. And we appreciate so much Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Restore in me the joy of salvation. And so this book is full of messes. And it shows that this is the message of the Bible. Whatever your mess is, Jesus Christ can solve that mess. And that's why this treasure has been put in you and me. Now, the meetings. We really need to get the message out. These meetings are going to be something that people here in Brookings have never heard this before. This is a good speaker, and yet his preaching can be so good and still nothing's going to happen. When people come through these doors, we need to love them and show them that we are a friendly family church. One of the reasons why we're feeding people every night, now, we don't feed them Friday night. Friday night's no food, just one meeting, 7:30. But Sunday night, if you miss the first night, you come at 5:15 or 5:30, and you get a repeat, rerun, and none of this is video. All of this is real Tim Rosenberg. But after a repeat of the first night, we feed people. Jan Beagle's going to have a scrumptious meal for us at every night. Sunday night, I get to make my chunky potato soup. You probably have never had chunky potato soup. Sunday night, you're going to get it. But the whole idea is we're going to be able to sit down with these people. And if I see all of you in your little cliques sitting at one table, I'm going to come over and do a Jesus Christ. Upturn the table. And your soup is going to go all over the floor and the water. It's going to be a big mess. But the message is going to get through to you. We're not cliquish. But those people scare me. I don't know them. Go down and sit next to them at the table and make friends with them. And listen to their mess. And if you get a chance, tell them who you are. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. That's going to be equally as important or more important than the message of Tim Rosenberg. Personal contact with people. The treasure that you have in your heart needs to be shared. And we're giving you a chance. And you know, it is the greatest thrill to be able to find somebody that God has used in a mighty way. May God help us as we enter this very exciting time in the history of this church. An evangelistic meeting, an opportunity for us to share our treasures. So have some of these handbills. Make sure there's plenty of them out there. And wherever you go, give them to people and invite them to share it. The whole purpose of these meetings is to lift up Jesus Christ. And we're going to sing about that in hymn number 371. Lift him up. Let people know about the treasure that you and I have.